Abba Father, you
are. Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
A handful of days ago, one of the many conversations that I have each day, someone asked me, guess who I saw driving, Drew? They went on to explain that they found themselves driving behind an acquaintance of ours and that on the back of their car, there was a bumper sticker. And on this bumper sticker, Brother Denny, was a scripture. And I believe the verse was in the book of Corinthians, if I'm not mistaken. And this person, they go on to ask me a question that had me contemplating some things in a way that I did not expect. It had me examining some behaviors, had me pondering. And I must say, it had me scrutinizing my own actions, had me thinking about the actions of others, wondering why, what for, how come, as we say in the South, so on and so on. And how could such a simple question have me spending so much time in reflection? It wasn't a profound question. It wasn't something that was sparked in debate or deep meditation. This wasn't something that this person spent time in prayer and seeking the throne room of God and figuring out resources to back it up and to justify it, but it was something that was unprepared. It was honest. It was an unfiltered thought. Some would say it was off the cuff. And it was the simplicity of the question that most intrigued me. Simple question with a simple answer. But while this person was driving behind this other wonderfully made but flawed human, who they and I both had interactions with, we had conversations with, some good, some not so good. We had experiences with this person. We had talked, we conversated in different levels of conversation, and a thought popped in this person's head. They shared that thought with me. And the thought, followed by a simple question, was this. And I quote, "I would have never guessed. Did you think they were a Christian?" The conversation about this individual didn't go any further, but I started thinking to myself, have I caused others to consider the same about me? And today, we continue the What's Your Story series. And I must say, I've been challenged, I've been inspired, I've been confronted on some things throughout this series. I've been inspired, energized. It's been great. The things that have been presented to this congregation, it's been amazing. We've gained insight into the stories of Silas and Habakkuk and Gomer, Hosea and Joel, all seemingly less important. Characters that we would have otherwise overlooked in our many times that we've read the Word of God. But we've been reminded that what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 16, to be absolutely true and even more relevant today. The scripture says that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. In the last verse, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And our God inspiration, again, comes from an individual found in the Word of God that, in my opinion, should be more famous. So I ask, what's your story, Dorcas? What'd you say, Brother Dew? I said it. Dorcas. Besides the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible records 10 other instances where individuals were raised from the dead and rejoined the living. You know, we're most familiar with Jairus' daughter. We're familiar with Lazarus. But I ask today, what's your story, Dorcas? Our story starts and ends in the chapter 9 of Acts. And in the beginning of this chapter, the author is detailing the conversion of a man whose mission was to eradicate the people of God by any means necessary. And this collection of verses starts by outlining his plan to involve religious leaders from various towns in capturing and destroying Christ followers. But on his way to a city, he's interrupted. His plan is interrupted, and he has an encounter with Jesus himself. And in the very town that this individual was going to destroy and kill people, God was talking to another man, and he sends that man to pray for him. It goes on to show the miraculous change in his life, and he demonstrated this by boldly speaking, a person who was once killing and destroying Christ's followers is now preaching the gospel, is now traveling and speaking boldly. And with this new life and this new conversion, he now has religious leaders after him and trying to kill him, but God continues to deliver him from situation after situation. He's now preaching, but now he is threatened and chased. And while all of this is happening, while God is working out multiple scenarios in various locations, the story then turns its focus to Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. Someone who walked with God. He had a very close relationship with our Lord and Savior. And what I call this chapter of miracles, look what the scripture tells us what happened. In Acts 9, starting at verse 32. Meanwhile, Peter traveled from place to place, and he came down to visit the believers in the town of Lydda. There he met a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your sleeping mat." And he was healed instantly. Then the whole population of Lydda and Sharon saw Aeneas walking around, and they turned to God. Verse 36, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. And her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda. So they sent two men to beg him, "Please come as soon as possible." Verse 39, so Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes that Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them to all leave the room, and he knelt and he prayed. Turning to the body, this is the body of Dorcas, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. Going on to verse 42, the news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. Amen. And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a tanner of hides. Not a whole lot is said about this woman, Dorcas. But looking at what little was said, we can safely assume that this woman of God wholeheartedly bought into the teachings of Jesus Christ, that when presented with the opportunity to serve and to be intimately involved in the lives of others around her, whether a believer or not, that the answer was clear to her and undoubtedly a command from the Lord Most High. Dorcas, a woman who was changed by the stories she heard, changed by the ministry of Jesus. Maybe she just simply heard them. Maybe she witnessed them with her own eyes. This wasn't long after Jesus died and was raised from the dead. The Bible doesn't say exactly, but she was a person who knew many people in the town that she lived in. She was a woman who dedicated her life to good works, and it's clear that kindness, serving, and being invested in the well-being of others were foundational principles in which she lived by. There were characteristics that made her known in the area that she resided in. She had influence. She had an invested community by her side when things went awry, people who did anything that they could to help her. In the last verse of chapter 9, we read, "And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a tanner of hides." And I don't believe that this final verse was carelessly tossed in this chapter in an unimportant detail. I believe that it's here for a reason. But is it possible that Simon and Peter were introduced to each other by Dorcas? This person, this Simon guy, he was a tanner of hides, which simply is a person who takes animal skin and transforms them into leather. We know that Dorcas made clothing for the poor. She made clothing for the widows. She helped them. We can't be for sure, we can't say for sure, but making our best educated guess, we can say that Dorcas was well connected in her town, and that she made a difference in all of those who came in contact with her. Out of all the characteristics, all the personality traits that the author could have written down in this chapter, it was her care for widows that he wrote down. It was her helping the poor that made the cut. It was her awareness of those in need that he decided to write down. But I find interesting that it didn't stop at her authority or influence in Joppa. It didn't end at the miracle of her being raised from the dead, but the word of God says the news spread through the whole town and many believed in the Lord. Her kindness led others to salvation. Years of identifying as a servant, of pursuing the God things in her life, that's what led people to Christ. Her kindness led others to salvation. I started thinking where kindness comes into play. And in my opinion, it's the very first stepping stone to someone experiencing the love of God. It starts, think about the time where you finally decided to follow Christ. It was kindness that was the first stepping stone. There are many more steps that we take on this path to pursue Christ, but it was kindness that first drew you to his presence. Whether it was from God himself, whether it was through another believer, whether it was through a neighbor, kindness at some point played a role in your decision to follow God. Kindness leads to salvation. I find it interesting that it's Paul, formerly known as Saul. This is the man who was mentioned earlier in chapter 9 of Acts as the one whose mission it was to still kill and destroy the people of God in any way that he could. I find it interesting that it was him who later in Romans penned these words that God's kindness leads to repentance. Again, in Galatians chapter 6 at verse 9, Paul writes this, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Why? At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity," this is Dorcas right here, "whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith." That's you and I. She was dead. She was dead for most of the story that we read, but even in her death, while her body lay lifeless, She was impacting those around her. Because why? Because she decided at some point in her life that she would adopt and follow the teachings of Christ, that nothing mattered more than following after the things of God. And when we interact with those whose paths cross with ours, what character thoughts do I provoke? What would someone say about me after speaking to me for the first time? They're working with me for a few days. What would they say about me? I must say I was disturbed when that question was asked of me, because I knew my answer. And as believers, as people who walk with God, as people who communicate with Him, who are seeking after His presence, what would someone say after our interaction? They walked away. Would they be surprised to find out that I'm a follower of Christ? As I was reading this story in Acts 9, I started noticing some things, different concepts, started challenging me a little bit, but one of the most interesting to me was the sense of unity in this story. Just like we are hearing about characters who have been overlooked or seem less important in the Bible, there are many characters who are never named. There are many characters who we never know their background, their experience, but played vital roles in God carrying out His plan. You hear things like a man or a woman or other people, the group, the crowd, people who played vital roles that we never know their names. We never know their story. There was no doubt in the minds of those who were around Dorcas what she stood for, who she was, and who she ultimately served. They knew exactly who to call on when they sent for Peter, who was staying in a neighboring town. The body of believers sprung into action when their fellow member was in need, the way that she did when they were in their time of need. I read again Acts 9:38, but the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda. So they sent two men. Like Dorcas, it's my desire that the kindness and the goodness of God would shine through my actions, that if I'm ever in a time of need and cannot speak for myself like Dorcas could not speak for herself, that my friends and my acquaintances and my coworkers and business associates, they would all know exactly what to do and who to call. That the very next step would be to start calling on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Call the elders to come pray by my side. Call the ministers to come sit with me for a little while. What would they do? What would your acquaintances say about you? 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12, going through verse 26, the word of God says, the human body has many parts. The many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. It goes on to say, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. Goes on to say, so God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. Verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Amen. Dorcas was a person who inspired the body to unity. Unknowingly, she inspired collective efforts by each believer to ensure that one of their own was taken care of. I believe that one of God's greatest creations is the body, the church of God. You were not meant to endure trials on your own, but like Dorcas had what we had today, it's probably the most dire situation of her life, but she had individuals who were by her side, who didn't leave when it got tough. They said, oh, well, it gets too late. Dorcas is dead. No, they took care. But the word says that she was washed and she was set up for burial. The most dire situation of her life. She couldn't speak. She couldn't tell the doctors what was hurting. She was dead. But she had believers, you and I, to help. I'm sure many of you have stories of kindness, stories of believers, maybe some in this building today, that have done something kind in your life. Kindness is an act. It's not just a term. It's not just an emotion. It's an act. Consideration for someone else's needs. With generosity, especially in times of struggle or desperation. But I ask myself that question again. Do I have people around me that would say that I'm kind? Do I have people that I'm interacting with that would say that I'm a Christ follower? Do my neighbors know that I serve God? Maybe you haven't just outright said it or put a banner on your front door. That's okay. But can they tell there's something different about you? Can they see the love of God shine through you? Can they see the peace of God in the way that you speak? Or are your words causing anger? Are your words confusing others? What would people say about you? I never want to be found in a place where someone has to say, wow, I never would have guessed. Never want to find myself in a conversation that says, someone says to me, oh, wow, you're a Christian. I want my actions. You know, the young people today call it a vibe. How you feel about that? The vibe that I give off. It's interesting to me that people will say the word vibe, but I can't say a prayer. What would people say about you? What would they do in your time of need? Do you have people who you have impacted in your life that would jump at the opportunity to do something for you. Kindness is an act. Kindness leads to repentance. Kindness leads to salvation. It leads to conversion. Unity leads to commitment. Unity leads to power. As I started thinking about next week, and we've obviously have heard that we're having a block party. If you don't know already, we're having a block party next week. I know this isn't a shout down message. This isn't one that, you know, people want to act crazy on, but I did feel led to talk about kindness and unity today. We have a unique opportunity, as Sister Jackie said so eloquently, to show people the love of God through our conversations, through our vibe. But next Saturday, July 1st, this congregation will gather and we will do good things. And we'll provoke each other to do good things. You might be the one in charge of handing out the hot dog. You might be in charge of cleaning up the mess that we make afterwards. But it's those acts of kindness that lead people to Christ. It's those initial conversations. Not asking you to preach a Bible study on the very first interaction, but the least you can do is show kindness. What can I do for you today? Can I pray for you? Can I go to God for you on your behalf? Can I help you pick that up? Can I help you carry that out to your car? It's the kindness. Like Dorcas in the book of Acts, she did everything that she could. The Bible doesn't clearly say that she was a widow herself. That would be a safe assumption. But it's the widows in her town. They came to her. She made clothing for them. I'm sure she made them dinner. She probably cleaned their houses for them. Who knows? But they were so distraught that their friend, that a fellow believer had fallen ill. They did everything they could to save her life. Kindness leads to repentance. Kindness leads to salvation. Will you lay the framework, the groundwork for someone to experience kindness? As we all stand today, musicians, as you come, I'd like for you to close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to think about the kindest person you know. What person in your life would you say is the most kind that you've ever experienced? As you have that thought in your mind, that person in your mind, I want you to start thinking about what you could mimic in your own life. What concepts could you adopt? What things could you do for others? Because kindness leads to salvation. It's often the first stepping stone in someone repenting. It's often the first stepping stone in someone turning their life around and saying, you know what? I need to explore something different. I need to explore this thing called God, this person called Jesus that they keep talking about, that I keep hearing about. Does your kindness inspire unity? Does your kindness inspire believers to come together to gather? Some of the people we will meet next week will be in some of the darkest moments of their life. I think it's safe to say that some of us in this building today have been in the darkest place in their life just recently. It is a command of our God and Savior that we are to serve, we are to be there, we are to be kind to others that we interact with. I'm not going to call us to the front today, but I would like us to pray. I would like us to ask God, what areas can I improve in? Is it my conversations, as we've been learning about in our faith groups this past quarter? But do a self-assessment today. Because the people that we meet, this isn't just a block party, church. I'm sorry to break it to you. This isn't just a fun event, but God is orchestrating things like he did in the book of Acts, where he's talking to someone in another town. He's talking to some individuals that are down the street right now. He's talking to them in their bedrooms and their workplaces, and he's saying, you need to make it down the street. And that person might be saying, God, why? It's just a block party. Why? That church, they have loud music and they act kind of crazy and they pray real loud, but why do I have to go there? God is orchestrating things right now that we can't see. Someone who has had an experience with Christ before, but is not committed fully. Someone who has never experienced Christ in their past. God is speaking right now to individuals, and he's sending you and I. He's sending ones that would be like Dorcas to say, you know what? I'll make you a shirt. I'll make you some clothing. I know that seems like such a simple thing to do, but I know God is in it. And I know God can take what seems simple and he can turn it into something amazing. He can take what we call unimportant and he can turn it into victory. He can turn it into a miracle. He can turn it into something life-changing and transforming, not because of the act itself, not because I decided to do something kind, but because that is who he is. He is in the people saving business. Lord, right now, Lord, you see every person. You see the various gifts and talents that are here right now. And Lord, I pray for a shift in our focus. I pray for a transformation in our minds, Lord, that we would take what seems unimportant and we would recommit it to your purpose and to your kingdom. Lord, that you would take the doubt and the fear, and you would turn it into victory and confidence. And every man and woman right here, Lord, in this place today, would not surrender just as instruments for you to do what you will, Lord. But Lord, I surrender as a partner in your work, Lord. I want to work beside you. I want to be holding your hand, Lord, as you speak to people, as you change lives, Lord. I want to be someone, Lord, that commits to that. I want to be someone, Lord, that's not in opposition to what you're doing, but Lord, I'm flowing with you. I'm walking beside you. You know every face, you know every life, God, that will be in attendance next week. Lord, nothing is going to surprise you. Lord, and if you decide to change a life right there in that parking lot next week, Lord, we claim it right now, Lord. We commit ourselves, Lord, to being those people, Lord, who show kindness, to being the first stepping stone for someone to see who you are. I wonder if right now in this church, if you can find somebody to pray with. We did this morning in our pre-service meeting, and there was such a powerful sense of unity in the building. I want you to find someone to pray with, and we're going to pray, Lord, that you would help us be united. Lord, that the hot dog people and the hamburger people next week will be united under your spiritual power, Lord, that the raffle tickets, Lord, that it will work out in the favor of your people. Pray right now, Lord, give them the strength. God, you know and you see, Lord. Oh, we commit ourselves right now, Lord. Oh, we commit ourselves as believers, God, as followers of who you are. Oh, that you would work in us and work through us. Remove anything that stands in the way, any opinion, Lord, any mindset, remove it right now, God. Bind us together in love and unity, that when one of our brothers or sisters, Lord, are in a dire situation, that we would run to their side. Lord, that we would be the aid that they need. God, we commit it right now in your name. Use me, Lord. Use my family. Use my spouse. Lord, use my children, Lord, for your kingdom, for your work to come forth. Lord, something as simple as kindness. Something as simple as kindness, God. Take it and turn it around, Lord. Oh, we claim it right now, Jesus. Have your way, God. Have your way. Oh, right now we pray for your presence. We pray for your presence to be with us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church.
And the Holy Ghost.